Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Our series this year is how do we live the victorious Christian life? And this is the third talk in that series, and it's entitled this morning, Have You Been Zapped Lately? But before we jump into that, let's review very quickly. The first talk, we talked about three different kinds of Christians. And so I call these, there's the cultural Christian, there's the typical Christian, there's the biblical Christian. Last night I was reading a book written by Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, known today as CRU. And in that book, he was saying, there are three kinds of Christians. Now, what I've called the cultural Christian, they think they're Christians, but they're not. He calls non-Christians. And what I've called there a typical Christian, he calls a carnal Christian. And what I called a biblical Christian, he calls a spirit-filled or spirit-controlled Christian. So he said to go from cultural to biblical, you cross over through Jesus Christ. To go from typical, or Bill Bright's words, carnal, he gets that from 1 Corinthians 2 and 3, there's walking in the Spirit. And the whole purpose, though, is once we're biblical Christians, it's not just to be a biblical Christian, it's to grow from immaturity to maturity. And that happens through fellowship with the Heavenly Father. What we're focusing on using this chart is this series is focusing on that typical to biblical. How do we walk in the Holy Spirit's power and under His control? Because it's not enough for me to try to live for Christ. I must let Christ live His life through me in the person of the Holy Spirit. So we gave a second chart that first talk, and we said, okay, let's elaborate on spiritual maturity, because this is something I've been thinking on all summer. We said there are two aspects. There's the intimacy with Christ, or we could say that's that fellowship with the Father. Remember, it's three persons, but one God, right? So if I'm fellowshipping with Christ, I'm fellowshipping with the Father. And then there's the horizontal part, which is imitation of Christ. And there on this chart, what I did was I said there's seven letters. How do we fellowship with the Father and grow in that part of maturity? I said four letters, T-A-W-G, time alone with God. And then how do we grow in imitation of Christ? I said three letters, VCL, victorious Christian life. And that's really misleading. That's the end. It's walking in the Spirit. As I learn to walk in the Spirit, I live the victorious Christian life. Not that I'm sinless, but I do sin less. I'm not sinless, but I do sin less. So the focus of the series is that bottom part. How do we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and live and walk and experience the victorious Christian life? So then the question is, if that's the question, how do we live the victorious Christian life? The second talk, we looked at one little verse, the first of four little phrases or parts of verses. It says, do not quench the Spirit, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. So what does it mean? These are some of the things we covered last talk. What does it mean to quench the Spirit? And we said it means to put out the fire. To quench means to put out the fire. And physical plant did not trust me with a full fire extinguisher, so they gave me an empty one. So this was the symbol of the first talk. Another way of saying that is, do not say no to God. So quenching the Spirit is saying no to the God. The Holy Spirit's prompting me and leading me and filling me to do something, and I say no, that quenches the Holy Spirit. So right after that chapel, it got kind of exciting. I don't know if you remember. Petty dorm, young ladies remember, there was a fire. I mean, immediately after chapel. And they had been listening, do not put out the fire. So they didn't. So I heard about it, and I grabbed my fire extinguisher, and I ran across the little grassy area there, the quad. And I knew this would not help practically, but I felt like just the intimidation factor would scare the fire out. So we had to have the fire department show up, and We let them quench the fire, but I'm proud of you, ladies. You learned a lot. So then we said, all right, so what phrases describe this Holy Spirit's work in our lives? And we said, all right, here are five common ones. The Spirit spoke to me. I heard the Spirit's voice. I said, I'm not real comfortable or as comfortable with those two as I am the next three. I had an impression from the Spirit. The Spirit led me. I was prompted by the Spirit. And I warned you, and I warned you again this morning, don't go to a ditch. Remember, it's easier to go to a logical extreme than to stay in the center of biblical tension. So this morning, when I got time to brush my teeth, I did not pray, which toothpaste do I use? Holy Spirit, lead me, prompt me. Crest, close up. Crest, close. No. I didn't even pray, Lord, should I brush my teeth? You know, Debbie would have said, hey, go brush your teeth. So you don't take it to an extreme. So this next little slide here, I think, summarizes what I was trying to communicate. This is going to be the first building block. We're going to take these verses and put them together to describe the victorious Christian life. So this building block is, how do we avoid quenching the Spirit? We said if it's putting out a fire, fire needs two ingredients. It needs the fuel and it needs oxygen. So the fuel, we said, is an appetite for the Word of God. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this because it can be a little bit confusing. The best way for me to get to know the God of the Word is to get to know the Word of God. But I can know very, very well the Word of God and not know at all the God of the Word. Does that make sense? Let me say it one more time. I really want to get to know the God of the Word, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Oh, you want to get to know the God? Get into His Word. You know the Word of God is the best way to get to know the God of the Word. However, we can go through 4 years of class here, or 3 years of seminary, and know the Scriptures backwards and forwards, but not know the God of the Word. So there's a second ingredient, this oxygen. I need to have an awareness. As I go through the Word of God, I need to have an awareness of the God of the Word. So there's an openness. There's a sensitivity to the Spirit's promptings and leading and impressions. So that brings us to the third talk, which is this morning. And it's from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. So if you have your Bibles, turn to that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. If you have your phone, just scroll down to it. And it's a little phrase out of this verse. And this phrase says, do not grieve the Spirit. So last time is do not quench the Spirit. This one's do not grieve the Spirit. So what does it mean to grieve the Spirit? If quenching means to extinguish a fire, grieving means to hurt a loved one. To hurt a loved one. I cannot grieve someone that doesn't love me. If quenching means to say no to God, grieving means to say yes to sin. So how do I know if I'm grieving the Holy Spirit? Well, to illustrate this, I need two volunteers, and I've already asked them if they would volunteer. So do I have any volunteers? All right, Tyler, Drew, thank you very much. If you two would come up, please. All right, so we have Tyler, the current president of the Student Center, Senate, and then we have Drew Lindman. Drew's the last year's president of Student Senate. Now, you guys pick, I want you to pick a stool. Don't sit on it. I want you to stand behind it. So, all right, Drew, you take this one, tire that one. Now, I call this my Zap chair. So if you look up here on the screen, Zap, up for some reason, there is in the PowerPoint that I brought, obviously didn't get transferred. That's Apple. That's why it didn't get transferred. There is a lightning bolt in the form of a Z. And Zap stands for electricity, the lightning bolt, applied. Originally it was to the posterior. But I've had a malfunction up here this morning, so we're going to call it electricity applied to the pinkies. So, Drew, I need you to put your pinkies right there. And Tyler, I need you to put your two pinkies there and there. All right, now, while you do that, one of these guys in our illustration is a biblical Christian. The other one's a cultural Christian. A typical Christian, typical Christian. So as a typical Christian, 2 days ago, he stole something out of the ramshack. And so as soon as he... Oh, no. They both are biblical Christians. Where did my water bottle go? You guys are good. You've ruined my illustration. Let's put those fingers back on there again. Bummer. I was the guinea pig before it started this morning. All right, you guys may sit down. Tyler and Drew, we will do this again my next talk. All right, so here's the thing. When we go from biblical, remember those two arrows, cultural to biblical, I had the arrow going one way. Typical to biblical, we had the arrow going both ways. Because I can be a biblical Christian this morning, but because I steal something out of the ramshack, or because I have this thought last night because my roommate was snoring at 2:00 in the morning, I can't get any sleep, I've stayed up late to study for an exam, I got to get up early to get ready for it. I have this thought, I'm going to tie him up, I'm going to gag him, I'm going to take him outside, leave him on the road, I don't murder him, but the next car that goes over him. So I'm having this thought, and so what happens then? How do I know if I'm grieving the Spirit? The Holy Spirit goes, zap. And it's not to my posterior, but it is to the interior. And that electricity goes, spiritual electricity, goes to my heart and zaps me, and we call that what? Conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts my heart and says, hey, this is not right. That thought's not right. That action's not right. Well, the whole talk's falling apart. That's a... Or, you know, I make a commitment in here this morning and I give my life totally and complete to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I'm yours. I go to lunch. I'm feeling real spiritual. I go to class. I'm like, oh, no, I don't know the answer to this question. Now I do. And I write it down. And then as soon as I do that, the Holy Spirit zaps us. So whereas this morning I walk out of here a biblical Christian, one little, and I've fallen back in that typical. That's the way a typical Christian. And it's not what God desires. Well, you know, I thought as I was studying for this morning, I thought, this is all fine and good. You know, I don't cheat on exams because I don't take exams anymore. Not that I cheated on them. Well, I did in Georgia Tech, and then I went back and asked forgiveness. I think I've talked about that here in chapel. You know, I haven't stolen anything from the ramshack lately or at all. And I don't think about gagging Debbie and taking her out in the cul-de-sac and saying, you know, she doesn't snore, so that's good. So I thought, well, I'm in pretty good shape with this verse. And then I saw the context. I want you to look at this verse, and hopefully this came through. Let's go one more slide. It says, here's the whole verse. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Look at the very first word. and. That word connects it to the verse before it. So if I'm going to understand the context of the verse, and context is king, we have to understand the context in order to understand the verse. What does the verse before it say? It says, "No, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear." So I said, I'm okay with verse 30. But I'm a professional talker. I say a lot of words. Have I been grieving the Holy Spirit of God, by whom I've been sealed for the day of redemption? In my words, am I living like a typical Christian, or with my words, am I living like a biblical Christian? So I study that word unwholesome. And that word unwholesome does not mean unhealthy. You think, don't eat unwholesome lunch. You know, today if I go to the cafeteria, often I'll see a guy with a tray, no plate, just the tray, and there's like a whole pizza layered on his tray. And that's like seconds. I mean, he's already eaten one whole lunch. And Jeff Rain's thinking, well, there goes another $100. And unhealthy. Don't raise your hand. How many of you in here eat cereal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? I mean, cereal's great. But if it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner, if it's pizza, lunch, and dinner, and maybe cold pizza for breakfast, you know, it's good food. It's not going to make you sick. But over and over and over again, it becomes a little bit unhealthy. Well, this is not unhealthy words. This word means rotten. It means rotten. Don't let any rotten words proceed from your mouth. Well, I got to thinking, have I ever eaten anything rotten? I've eaten a lot of stuff unhealthy. And immediately. I was in Eastern Europe. And I love fruit. My favorite fruit is kind of a toss-up between peaches and cherries. And I was in Moldova when the cherries were in season. And you'd go down the road and like every 100 yards, there's somebody selling big bags of cherries. I said, let's stop and get a couple bags. So we got home, we washed them in water that could make it so we could eat them as kind of outsiders. And I grabbed one, popped it in my mouth. And you know how cherries kind of are a little crunchy, a little firm, hard? I popped it, bit in, it was squishy. Now, this thing wasn't rotten. It was rotten. And I, as politely as possible, and it's rarely polite to spit something out of your mouth. But you try to do it as politely as possible, you know, you kind of, I spit out, and there are all these little white wiggly things. And then I didn't care. There's a lot of protein. I didn't care if I was polite or not. I was spitting because I want to make sure I got every single one of those little wormies out of my mouth. So then I thought, what are the rotten words that we use here at CIU that grieve the Holy Spirit of God, who has sealed us for the day of redemption? So I came up with six. Let's kind of review these. The first one, from 2 Corinthians chapter, well, actually, the first two from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. Paul's writing, he says, "For I'm afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wished." And he goes on to say, "And you may find me not to be what you wished. But perhaps there may be some strife, some jealousy, some angry tempers, disputes, slanderers, gossip, arrogance, and disturbances." Slander is a rotten word. Slander means to make false statements that causes people to have a bad opinion of another person. But here at CIU, we will spiritualize the words so they don't appear rotten. We spray some Febreze on them, but they still stink to God. So it's something like this. Oh, that person is a very good person, but, and we slide something in there. Second one, gossip. Same verse, slanderers, gossip, or gossipers. It's interesting how it's gotten really quiet in here. And that's good. Now, this Lord, we truly want to be biblical followers. Lord, this is, your spirit's probing in my heart. It's uncomfortable. But Lord, I really want to grow in maturity. You show me how I can better live the victorious Christian life. So gossip means to spread a report or a rumor of an intimate nature. Let's look at a third one, lying. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. And do not lie to one another, since you've laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Lying means statements that contain falsehood. It may not be a blatant lie, but it's not the absolute truth. That's why you go to court and they're swearing in and say, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So, well, I told you the truth. Well, did you tell me the whole truth? No. So I tell the whole truth, but I slip in a lie. Would you tell me the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Well, I maybe added a little bit of exaggeration, a little bit of deception, a little bit of misleading. James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, cursing. With it we bless, in the context of this chapter 3 is the tongue. So with the tongue we bless our Lord and Father. So what do we just do? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. So I'm blessing our Lord and Father, and with it I curse men who've been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren or my brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be this way. So cursing means to use offensive words. I think maybe I've said in here, I grew up in an unchurched, non-Christian, dysfunctional family. And cussing was prevalent in our house. And I didn't become a believer until college. But one thing, for some reason, I never cussed. I said two cuss words. And one was when I was 13 playing basketball. And I missed the basket. And I said something that you step in, and I stopped and went, where did that come from? For whatever reason, I don't think I've ever made a basketball shot in my entire life. I mean, it's, in high school, I went to college on a wrestling scholarship. So, I could take out some people on the court. I'd tackle them. I'd get thrown out of the game. But hey, we got their good guy out and they got our crummy guy out. So, that's a good trade. Now, stay in James. This is an amazing verse. And I will ask you, how many times have you read this verse and have missed it? Do not complain. Brethren, against one another so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. Complain means to express discontent. And there was a professor once, several years ago, and he tended to focus on, we need to complain, we need to complain, we need to complain. It's like, no, that's not biblical. We need to communicate, we need to communicate, we need to communicate. That's biblical. If it's a difficult, negative situation, jump on it. Here's the difference. Complaining, it's us against you. Communicating, it's we're all in this together. How can we solve it? See the difference? It's slight, but it's a huge difference. It's when it's attitudinally. So if you're reading in scriptures, look for the words grumbling or murmuring, complaining. Especially read through the people of Israel in the wilderness, as they're moving through, they're constantly, New American Standard, they're constantly murmuring. It means complaining. One last one, Philippians 2:14. Well, here's that, do all things without grumbling, without murmuring, without complaining. That's the first word. It says, this is NIV, or arguing. NAS, New American Standard, says without disputing. Arguing means to fight with words. You're a fool. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. No, I'm not. I mean, it's just back and forth. And it's somehow they just don't let go. It's beyond debating. Debate is healthy. It's wanting to see the various positions. Arguing is an I win, you lose proposition. Now, here's a summary of what I've just said. These are the spoken words. But I got to thinking about this. They're also the written words. And by the way, Monday night I had dinner with the student leaders, and I said, this is what I'm talking on. Do we struggle with this here at CIU? And the heads started nodding. So this is a chance for the Holy Spirit to do some surgery in our hearts and to take out some of this stuff that's keeping us from imitating the Lord Jesus Christ like He wants us to. So, written words. You know, the internet has been used for so much good, but it's been used for so much harm and damage. Texting, emails, tweets, my post, or my blogging. I do want you to raise your hands on this one. Has anyone ever said anything bad about you electronically in one of these forms? Raise your hands. Okay, raise them. Look around. Raise them high. Just look around. Okay? How did it make you feel? I'm going to tell you how to get even in just a second. Let me ask you this question. I want you to raise your hands. In your heart, not physically. How many of you have ever said something bad to someone or about someone digitally? Don't raise your hands. They were starting to go up. So, you know, I've had some folks, when you graduate and get in a leadership position, may God give you a situation where you never have to make an unpopular decision. But some of you are going to get in leadership positions, and you're going to have to make some decisions that's best for the group that are unpopular. And when you do, the words will start flying, verbally, spoken words, and digitally, written words. And when they do, and they're going to be there forever if it's written. If it's spoken, it's still bad. It's still rotten before God, but people can forget. When you put it in print on the internet, it's there forever. Even if you delete it, it's there forever. So how do we keep from grieving the Spirit with our rotten words? Well, in this context, verse 29 goes on to say, speaking words that are good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. This kind of person, this says, I'm not going to join the fight. I'm going to pour grace. What's grace? Unmerited favor. I'm going to choose to bless when I'm cursed. I'm going to choose to bless when I'm slandered. I'm going to choose to bless when I'm harmed. So we build people up, we don't tear them down. We do them good, we don't do them harm. Well, here's another question. Well, what if I've already said something rotten to someone and the Holy Spirit's zapping me? And he's not zapping my pinkies. He's zapping my posterior. He's zapping my interior. He's really convicting me right now. We call them the nine powerful words around here. First John says, and I'll give you the nine powerful words. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. He, the Father, is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the nine powerful words, we tell the Father and we tell the person we've hurt with our rotten words. It's both. I think of first verse that comes to mind is Acts chapter 24, verse 16. Paul says, in view of this, I do my best to maintain a blameless conscience both before God and before man. And godly people have sensitive consciences. So the nine words, I was wrong, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Vertically, horizontally, to the Father, to the person. What about this? What if someone has hurt me with their rotten words? Retaliate. Get even. I just tear them up. No. Why, when someone throws something rotten at you, do you throw something rotten back at them? Colossians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also should you. Verse 14, and put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Share one story. I made a tough decision for CIU two and a half, three years ago. And I had three students light into me, graduates, light into me. Via the internet. The temptation is to go, and fire right back, right? Am I right? You don't resolve conflict. You do not resolve conflict on Facebook. You don't resolve, I don't care what the presidential campaigns are modeling, you don't resolve it through Twitter. The way we resolve biblically, in a Christ-honoring way, conflict, is you go to the person. Listen, if you've been offended, you go to the person. If you realize, if you've been zapped and realize, no, I'm the one that offended you, you go to the person. Scripture says both are to take the initiative because the Father God wants all of us to reconcile conflict quickly but appropriately. So I called all three of the students. I said, can we get together and talk? Now, what if I'd, some of you know, the person I have in mind, because you've been here long enough. He was one of our student leaders. What if I zapped him back? Not with heavenly zaps, but with devilish zaps. We got together, we talked. And he saw a different perspective, why the decision had to be made. Yesterday morning, that graduate endorsed me for several things on LinkedIn, which is kind of like a professional Facebook. What if I would have been ugly? We would have never been reconciled. Isn't it funny? Think of some of your best friends today that relationships started off poorly. You had a bad opinion or a negative attitude toward the current friend. And you do this stuff. It makes it so hard to reconcile and have the relationship God wants you to have. So Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Great verse. Memorize it. Brethren, even if any of you are caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, go to the person, but look to yourself to make sure you're not tempted to sin. This is paraphrased now. You're not tempted to sin in the same way that he or she sinned. Well, we're out of time. But I do believe God's Spirit speaking to people's hearts this morning. His little zapper never fails. So here's what I want us to do. Let's just all close our eyes, bow our heads. And ask the Lord, Lord, are there some rotten words that have been coming out of my mouth or through my fingertips? And if so, then I want you to, and this is the second building block in the victorious Christian life. If you are a godly person, then you have a sensitive conscience. And if the Holy Spirit's zapping you, regardless of how humbling it might be, you need right now to confess it to the Lord and purpose in your heart, you're going to confess it to the person that you offended. So let's pray that right now. Just, you can kind of pray this kind of prayer, just your eyes closed. Father God, my rotten words were wrong. And I'm sorry I've grieved your Holy Spirit. Please forgive me. And Father, I purpose in my heart right now to get it right with my mom or my dad, my friends, my pastor, my roommate, my professor. If you prayed that prayer, just lift your hand up and put it right back down. Just right, that's right, put it right back down. Okay, any others? Okay, anybody else? Father, may we really truly walk as biblical Christians here on campus. May we grow in maturity. May we not quench your spirit nor grieve your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We're dismissed.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.